Well, as Pastor Bill mentioned, this weekend was our marriage and family conference, and we just had an awesome day. Yesterday, we had 20-plus couples who came and gave up their whole day to sit under the teaching of God's Word in order to really cultivate marriages and homes that are healthy and honoring to Jesus Christ. And we had the privilege of having... Well, in the bulletin, it's Pastor Frank and Karen. I don't call them that. I call them Mom and Dad. And it's been really neat to kind of serve alongside my spiritual heroes this weekend. And I'm a big sports guy. And in every sport, they have this thing called the GOAT. You know what I'm talking about? The GOAT. It stands for the greatest of all time. And I mean this in all sincerity. When it comes to preaching, when it comes to teaching, more importantly, when it comes to practicing what he preaches, my dad is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. And I told my dad how much I just appreciated his preaching and teaching over the years, because I hear all sorts of folks saying it's so hard to find a church where God's word is preached. And I've never experienced that. I'd never known that. I just have always had my Bible opened and my dad teaching. And but more importantly, I could see my dad striving to practice what he preaches. And he's not perfect, just like I'm not perfect, just like you're not perfect. But I do see the Holy Spirit driving him to be more like Jesus. And that is something that I'm eternally grateful for. So, Dad, thank you. I always tell people, like, hey, where do you go to school? I said, I went to the University of Frank Snyder. And so Dad's going to come now, and he's going to kind of wrap up our last session of the Family Marriage Conference. And so, Dad, the rest of the time is yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Give me a hug.
All right. All
right. Thank you, praise team. Wasn't that great worship? Singing to God. I mean, he is our audience, and we sing to him. And I hope you remember that when you stand and sing, that you're not singing to the praise team, and the praise team's not singing to you. Collectively, we are singing to God. And he's in heaven, and he's going like this. Oh, that is good. Oh, what a sweet smell that is. And so hopefully you participated in worship this morning. And the praise team was wonderful, but I want to point out the drummer. He's related to me. And it's so cool to see a young person beating on the drums. And doing such a great job, Kellen. You do a great job, and I'm so thrilled for him to be involved in leading a church in worship. And so Tim did a good job. I mean, he was all right. And Jenny was back here, and she was doing a great job. But I'm just kidding. It was fantastic. And by the way, I am a goat. I mean, a goat. And not like Tim called it. I am just a goat, you know, a smelly goat. And thanks, Tim, for that. I never thought of myself as that. And all these years, and it was good. I have you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 this morning. And it has been a great privilege for Karen and myself to be here this weekend. And we had a wonderful time yesterday. I hope you get to meet Karen before the morning is over. I shared with the groups yesterday that we have 5 sons so far, and 14 grandchildren. But I just share this with you. Whenever my boys call home, my phone never rings. But their mother's phone always rings. I think that says a lot about my boys. Plus, they don't have to waste my time. But anyways, but they call their mom often, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, if they got a question about ministry or something like that, they usually call me and ask for my advice. And if they take it or leave it, that's fine. But I hope you get to meet Karen today. She's the love of my life for 52 years this July. For those of you that weren't here yesterday, we met in kindergarten. And so we've been together for most of our lives. And it's been a journey. We shared our story yesterday. It wasn't always, and they rode off and lived happily ever after. I mean, it was a mess for a while. And then Jesus came and saved our souls, saved our marriage, and the rest is history. And so we're glad of that. So hopefully you're in Proverbs chapter 1. It's been like decades since I preached from Proverbs. But I will say this, as a dad, this was my go-to book. It was. It really was a go-to book because it is so age-appropriate in teaching children. And so I gleaned a lot of material from Proverbs as a young father. And I want to read chapter 1. I want to start in verse number 7. We're going to look at two texts this morning. And Tim, what time do we get done? Noon? 1 o'clock? Okay, all right. Verse 7, it says, follow with me as I read. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, the ESV. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Slide over to Proverbs chapter 6 for a moment and find verse number 20. We see a similar text, and it begins this way. My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, he's still talking to his son now, when you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they shall watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, the teaching a light, and the reproofs of this discipline are the way of life. And now, as I prayed, we've been talking about this conference for some time, but as I prayed about what to share this morning, I believe the Lord has led me to speak on the subject that I've entitled, it's on your screen, Parents Teach Your Children. Parents Teach Your Children. And I tried to dismiss the topic as a subject to teach on this morning, but I could not. Matter of fact, I even told the group yesterday, I may not preach on what I'm going to preach on this morning, but then I thought, well, then what would I preach on? That would be too many. No, not really. I just think that in the day and age which we live, this needs to be emphasized. Parents teach your children. And so as we develop this theme, I would like to share with you four truths from the two passages that I just read in order to encourage our parents to teach your children. Now, you may be here and all your kids are gone. Well, you got grandkids, hopefully. Okay, now it's different. It's a different situation there. And my responsibility is not to my grandchildren. My responsibility isn't to Kellen or to Lila. I do pray for them. That's Jenny and Tim's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility for Kellen and Lila. It's Tim and Jenny's responsibility. So you may be empty nesters. Yeah. Right? And I'm an empty nester. But you can encourage your kids to teach their children. And when you get an opportunity as a grandparent, you can, you know, slide a little wisdom in there, right? And you may not even be married yet. I was shaking hands with all these guys here in front, And someday they may be parents. So take notes. Okay? And what a great opportunity we have as parents. So I want to share with you four truths to encourage parents to teach their children. And the first truth I want us to see from the two passages, and you have your notes, you can fill them in. God's assumption that dads and moms are teaching their children. God's assumption that dads and moms are teaching their children. Again, look at Proverbs chapter 1, and notice verse number 8. Now, notice what it says. Hear, my son, your fathers. Everybody say fathers. It doesn't say church there. It doesn't say youth teacher. Doesn't say Sunday school teacher. It says there, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Back over to Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. And what we have here is God's assumption that dads and moms are teaching their children. God's assuming that. These two passages are directed to the writer's son. And the writer is commanding his son to hear and then to keep the instruction and the commandment of his father, and he's also instructed not to forsake the teaching of his mother. Now, dads and moms, it is certainly the responsibility of your children to ultimately listen to and obey your instruction and teaching. It is their responsibility to do that. We'll talk about that in a second. But what I want you to clearly see in these two passages is that the God of the Bible assumes that you are teaching your children. He assumes it. What else would you do? Eat them? Teach them. He assumes that. This assumption is very clear by how the writer said or how the writer said what he said. Again, he says, my son, hear my son, your father's instruction. Forsake not your mother's teaching. And in, again, chapter 6, he says, again, my son, keep your father's commandment. Forsake not your mother's teaching. The command to the son to hear and keep his father's instruction or his commandments and to not forsake the teaching of his mother would make absolutely no sense at all if God did not assume that dad and mom were actually teaching their children. He just assumes that. Now, in other places, we're commanded to teach. But here, he assumes. I tell you, when I read that as a young dad, I'm thinking, boy, you better step up to the plate, Frank. God's assuming something here. He's assuming that I'm teaching my sons. He's assuming that Karen is teaching her sons. Hang on to that thought. We'll come back to it as we make some application in a moment. Here's the second truth. We have God's assumption that dads and moms are teaching their children. Here's the second truth in our text. There's God's curriculum for dads and moms in teaching their children. God's curriculum for dads and moms in teaching their children. Notice again what it says, verse 8 of chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Again, we won't do this too much longer going back and forth, but hopefully the way I preach is I go over verses a number of times that when you leave, you got it memorized. You don't even know it. Verse number 20 of chapter 6, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. We have God's curriculum for dads and moms in teaching their children. And the words instruction and the words commandment and the word teaching in the greater context of the Word of God and certainly in our present context and in the greater context of the book of Proverbs, these words refer to the instruction or teaching from God's Word. The instruction, the commandment, and teaching, they refer to God's Word. And that also points a person in the right direction. See, when I was teaching my boys, I was trying to point them in the right direction. Because you know why? Because I know they were bent to go the wrong direction. They just naturally did that. They naturally lied. They naturally were mouthy. Right? They were naturally belligerent. And so God says, I'm assuming you're teaching these boys my word. And my word, nothing else but your word. Now, there's something else. We'll talk about that in a minute. As you teach them, it's going to point them in the right direction. It's going to point them in the right direction. And it shows a person how to order his life in a fashion that brings glory to God, which we will see later. By the way, it also makes happy children. We'll talk about that. Someone says, how long are you going to be here to talk about all this? Well, believe me, we'll get through it. God's curriculum for dads and moms in teaching their children has only one textbook. The Bible. Now, I know there's all kinds of books out there on parenting, and the ones that are out here are very good. But let me tell you what, God has one textbook. It's this. The B-I-B-L-E. You know, when we were young parents, my kids would, of course, go to church. With us, I was in Bible college, and of course, after I became a pastor, I had to go to church, right? And we were in church. But one of the fascinating things to me as a young parent going to church as a Bible college student, see, I wasn't raised in the church. I wasn't raised in the church, so I didn't know what really went on. And my kids were learning some great songs, some songs that some of you take for granted. For example, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what he could. I thought that was top 10. I was amazing. And then how about this one? Jesus loves me. This I know. I never heard that before in my life. And then there was deep and wide, you know, and then I got into it like they did because it was all new to me. And so we sang those songs and they were learning about God through music. I remember when the twins, Tim was still prophecy back then, and we were in Bible college and it was Easter time. And we were in the car. By the way, we'd sing all these songs in the car. It got kind of crazy. But it was Easter time, and I taught the twins the song, He Arose. And they loved that. They're now almost 50. Up from the grave, He arose. I mean, they went crazy in the back seat. I am a C-H. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-I-N. I think I spelled that right. And I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and then I forgot the rest of the... Remember that song? I thought that was great. And we would sing it faster and faster and faster. But the greatest hit of all was this one. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. There you go. There you go. The Bible. That's God's curriculum. See, God assumes that mom and dad are teaching their children. By the way, they're not your children, they're his children. Remember that. They're just loaned to you. But then we have God's curriculum for dads and moms and teaching their children. I did put a verse of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I wish I had time to develop that. It's in your notes. And these words Moses said to the children of Israel, which I command you today, shall be in your heart, You shall teach them diligently to your children. And then he says, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, while the kids are awake, think biblically, demonstrate Bible. In other words, Karen and I thought we were a 24-hour-a-day devotion. And we just didn't sit down and, okay, let's read 5 minutes from the Bible, you know, and this kid was going this way, this kid was going this way, this one was turned upside down. And so it's a 24-hour devotional. And that's why I was so glad when my kids went to bed. Didn't have to do that anymore till the next morning. So by way of application, this is on your notes, by way of application of our first two truths this morning, let me share with you two thoughts. Here's the first thought. Don't miss this, Mom and Dad. Someone is teaching your children. The question is, who is teaching them? And more importantly is, what are they teaching them? I took that kind of seriously. Someone was teaching my children. The question was, who was teaching them? And more importantly, what were they teaching them? And I believe that dad and mom, God would have you on the front lines in teaching your children. Matter of fact, you're responsible for that. Nobody else. Nobody else. And when you turn your kids over to Sunday school or youth group, or you better make sure what they're learning and who's teaching them, because you're responsible. As a matter of fact, from our two passages we were looking at this morning, God assumes that you are teaching your children, and the curriculum he assumes that you're imparting to them is the Bible. So glad God gave us a book, aren't you? And says, teach your children. Here's a second application here. Young children are very eager to learn God's curriculum from dad and mom. Young children are very eager to learn God's curriculum from mom and dad. What do I mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. I have never heard a little kid say this about the creation story. I've never heard a little kid say this about the creation story. Mom, that's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Matter of fact, I'm leaning, no 5-year-old's ever said to me, you know, I'm leaning towards the Big Bang Theory. No, my first ministry, Breezeport Baptist Church was across the street from our parsonage, but between the parsonage and the church was a cemetery. And we used to walk through that cemetery at night. When I would walk across the cemetery at night, I'd take one of the kids because I was scared to death. If a ghost was coming out, I'd throw the kid at him. But anyways, we would walk across. And one of the times, I believe it was Timmy or Frank, I was carrying them. They were 2 or 3 years old. And out in Breezeport, which was out in the middle of nowhere, and I mean nowhere, and the sky was also lit up with stars. And there was the moon. And Tim was there. I says, Tim, look up there. Tim, you know who made that? God made that. He made that. Wow. And you know what, Tim? God made you. And you know what, God? Oh, Tim, you know, God loves you. And he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Now, Tim did not say, get out of town. He didn't ever say that. Yeah, wow. Right? Remember the pictures your kids used to color and bring home? I'm talking to the older folks now. And boy, you didn't take those pictures and where did you put the pictures? Right on the refrigerator. Right? And never did my kids ever come home with Noah's Ark all colored, and we put it up on the table, and none of my kids ever said, "Dad, whoever believes in the global flood is nuts." Never said that. You know what they learned from the flood? There's judgment coming. And there's only one place to escape judgment. That's the ark. And so we could transfer it from the ark to the cross. And see, teaching God's kids is fun. Never in my life have I ever heard a kid say this: "Dad and Mom, I hate that song that says Jesus loves me this I hate that." Have you ever heard a kid say that? Of course you didn't. Because young children are eager to hear God's curriculum. And my point is this, Dad and Mom. Here's my point. I believe that this is the point of God's word. Teach your children God's curriculum and teach it to them early. I didn't have the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. I didn't. Praise God, my dad and mom are saved. My mom's in heaven, not because of who she is, but because of who she became in Christ. But I was never taught the word of God. And so when I get saved and out of a life of sin, as I shared with our guys yesterday, our people yesterday, I needed a textbook. And this was it. Right? So let's move on. We're going to do these last two points quickly, but I wish we had more time. Here's the third truth I want to see from one of our passages. I'll get that out sooner or later. Here it is, God's prerequisite for dads and moms in teaching their children. It's in Proverbs 1:7. Remember that first verse we read? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God's prerequisite. God's only prerequisite for dads and moms in teaching their children God's curriculum is to fear the Lord. It's on your notes. We hear about the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. I put down my definition of the fear of the Lord. I don't know if I borrowed that from somebody or it's my own, you know, with that early onset's coming on. I don't remember very well anymore. But anyways, it says there, the fear of the Lord, in your notes, is a reverential awe in, admiration for, and devotion to God, which will be seen in a life that willingly and consistently does the will of God, which is found in the Word of God, and in doing so brings glory to God. And early on in my Christian life, I realize that teaching my children is in the will of God. Matter of fact, it's in the top 10 priorities. Maybe the top 3. And because I feared the Lord, I wanted to do the will of God for the glory of God. I'm going to share 3 thoughts concerning the fear of the Lord for you. And I think these are true. Number one, the fear of the Lord begins with salvation. The fear of the Lord begins with salvation. We shared with our folks yesterday that in September 27th, 1976, I came into a church like this, sat about right over there. I came in with a choker on, had a nice long wavy hair. I had a muscle shirt on. I had bell bottoms on that were like crazy. I had high platform shoes on. And I told the group yesterday, I thought I was John Travolta. Staying alive. No fear of God at all in my life. And somehow I showed up in a Baptist church. And I heard this crazy preacher start preaching. It was a parable of the lost out of Luke 15 I shared yesterday. And as he preached, I began to fear the Lord. I didn't know that at the time, but God was taking his word and making me fear him. I realized that I was a lost sheep and I deserved the judgment of God. And I began to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. And we sing that song, Amazing Grace. It says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. But I didn't understand it at that time. And the only thing I was mad at the preacher. How could he talk to me? He didn't even know me. And he's calling me a lost sinner. But I began to fear the Lord. Well, I survived another week, praise God. I could have died between that Sunday and the next Sunday. And I went back to that church, sat in the same place, and the same crazy preacher showed up. It was all new to me. I'd never been to a Bible-believing church. And he began to talk about a lost coin. And it didn't take me 2 seconds to realize I was the lost coin. And the fear of the Lord began to work on me some more. And I feared God because I was a sinner and I was lost. I deserved his judgment. And in my heart of hearts, I cried out, what must I do to be saved? You know what God did? Here's my son. I didn't know the book of Genesis from the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, I didn't even have a Bible. And God caused me to fear the Lord in embracing his son as my Savior. That's when I began to fear the Lord. And it changed my life drastically. Drastically. I became a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And I didn't even know that verse was in the Bible back then. But it happened in my life because I feared the Lord. I didn't even know what that meant. That's the work of God. So the fear of the Lord begins with salvation. And then the fear of the Lord also includes growing up in our salvation. Man, I was a baby. I was just a baby in Jesus. I wanted to know more about Jesus because I feared the Lord. And so I began to grow up. 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, and your note says, so put away all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. So I began to drink the milk of the Word. I liken the Bible like a baby bottle with a nipple on it. And as a newborn babe, and I began to grow in the fear of the Lord. By the way, I wanted to see if that verse was true in real life. And Tim is the example here. Tim was the best of our 5 kids. Okay, the best. No kidding around. That's not saying a lot, but he was the best. And so it was time to eat. And for him, and the way we knew that it was time to eat, because he was screaming his head off, right? And so I wanted to feed him. And for the reason I wanted to feed him the bottles, I wanted to see if 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 was true. So Karen heated the bottle and did one of these things, and so he gave it to me. And so here's Tim, and I held the bottle so he couldn't reach it. Don't tell anybody this, okay? And so, and it was a glass bottle. And so I got it closer, and he got it in. Well, he latched onto that thing. And the glass bottle turned inside out, right? And just the biggest burp I ever heard in my life after that. But it worked. That's how new Christian. If you fear the Lord, you're going to be like an infant. And here's my point in that, as we teach our children, moms and dads, you can only lead your children in the things of the Lord to the extent to where you have been. You got to stay ahead of the kids. You got to stay ahead of the kids. You know, again, I'll pick on Tim, and I don't want to tell the whole story. Tim thought he was Romeo. Right? And, he thought that I was a caveman. that know nothing about relationships. I'm going to say, listen, I've known your mother forever, and you know, you came around because something happened, and you know, and but see, I had to stay ahead of him in that whole thing to tell him, hey, don't go there, don't go there. Stay pure, stay pure. See what I'm saying? Got to stay ahead of the kids. Then lastly, the fear of the Lord will also include modeling a life that pleases and honors the Lord before your children. It's one thing to know the Lord. It's one thing to be growing in the Lord, but it's a whole other thing to model the Lord. 2 Timothy 1:3 through 5 in your notes says this, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, Timothy, be mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. But Timothy, before it was in you, watch what it says, it first dwelt in your grandma, Lois. Now I had two grandmas. Neither one of them had genuine faith. They're good grandmas, but they taught me diddly about Christ. But notice that you, that was in your grandmother Lois and also in your mother Eunice. And now I'm persuaded it's in you. By the way, here's a message here. If you're a single mom, you can do it. If you're a grandparent raising your kid, your grandchildren, listen, you can do it. Just be the real deal. Don't complain about it. Don't say, man alive, I didn't raise my kids to raise their kids. It's what God has planned for you right now. And you can do it. Just have genuine faith. Just have the real deal. 2 Timothy 1:3 through 5 speaks volumes of how Timothy had the grand privilege of having a grandma and a mom who truly feared the Lord. And how they feared the Lord was modeled in their lives, and that modeling is called genuine or sincere or unhypocritical faith. And by way of application of this third truth, allow me to emphasize this one crucial point, and that is there is no substitute for a dad and mom who genuinely fear the Lord and who model the fear of the Lord in front of their children with genuine faith. Listen, dads and moms, never underestimate a good example. Don't ever underestimate that. But don't ever underestimate what a bad example can have in those that watch you. And as I shared with the guys yesterday, a good example as a dad many times is not appreciated when the kids are younger. Why, they think you're just a lunatic. They don't tell you that. I can't do nothing. Yeah, okay. But you know, as they get older, and you've been a good example, they'll appreciate that. They will. Someone says, how do you know that? I've been there and done that. Now I go back and change some of the things I thought I was a good example in. You see, mom and dad, this genuine modeling of your faith gives your teaching of God's curriculum a real sense of authenticity before your children. You have to do it in love, though. It will also, and I think this is so important, it will also, genuine faith will also give you an audience with your children as they get older and move into their teen years and even in adulthood. You see, you can't afford to be a dad or mom who teaches their children, don't do as I do, just do as I say. Don't do that. And here's the reason why. That is hypocritical faith, and a child can spot it right away. Very quickly. Now, listen to me very carefully. I mean, this is from just observation. That is so frustrating to a child. And I believe it is a very big reason why parents lose an audience with their children as they enter their teen years and then forget about adulthood. Because you know what they're saying? And they're not even sharing it with their friends now. You know, my mom and dad were hypocrites. They believed one thing and lived another thing. It just drove me crazy. It frustrated me. And some never recover. So we're going to God's assumption that we're teaching our children, God's curriculum to teach our children. I forget the third one, but you can remember that. Here's the fourth one, and I'm just going to give them to you quickly. The fourth truth I want us to see from our two passages is God's intended fruit for dads and moms teaching their children. And I just want to read Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. It says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Watch, because, or for, they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." What? Proverbs chapter 6 says this, "My son, keep your father's commandment, forsake not your mother's teaching, bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." I'm just going to just quickly give those the fruit. The first fruit would be this: God's intended fruit for dads and moms in teaching their children, God's curriculum, is described in Proverbs 1, 8, 9 as graceful garland on your head and pendants on your neck. That's like decorative jewelry. And the idea, though, those phrases are really two beautiful metaphors that speak of the fruit of an honorable life in your child, listen very carefully, and a fulfilled life in your child that is not only pleasing to God, but also a life that is a good testimony for God before others. And let me add one other thing. I also believe that those pieces of jewelry, those metaphors, speak of a happy child, a contented child. I've been around a long time, and I've tried to help parents for a long time, and they have some concerns. And all kids, listen, they're all bent to do crazy things. But a rebellious child is one who is miserable. They don't act like it, but they are. And they're not fulfilled. They don't have the jewelry on, if you will, because they didn't listen to mom and dad. I could say a lot more to that, but I won't. Again, it's up to the child to hear and to keep the father's instruction and commandment, not forsake the teaching of his mother, which we have concluded is God's curriculum, but he can't or she can't keep or obey what she hasn't been taught, both by precept or by example. In other words, you must give your children, I shared this with you with our panel discussion yesterday, you must share with your children every opportunity to put on this decorative jewelry by teaching them God's curriculum and living it before them. If they choose to forsake it, that's their bad decision. And they will experience the consequences of their bad decision. But listen to me very carefully. If you taught them, one day, maybe, the Spirit of God will call those things to their remembrance. And they'll put that jewelry on. Remember the prodigal son? He had to get to the pig pen, but he said, "You know something? I was pretty well off at dad's place." So teach them. It's their responsibility to take it in and to obey it. It's not your responsibility. Give them the opportunity. And then in Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, we have what I call a godly guidance system for life. A godly guidance system for life. Remember, What do your kids know about anything when they're born? Someone tell me. Nothing. Matter of fact, all they know what to do is eat and poop. That's it. And we had twins right out of the gate, and there was a lot of eating and a lot of pooping. But they know nothing about life. And all they're going to know about life is what I put into their lives and their mom puts into their life. And one of the things that we wanted to put in their life was this guidance system, because I knew that one day they were going to leave my home. I shared with people yesterday, we give them 22 years. Our responsibility for them is 22 years. And I'm trying to grill into them this guidance system. And if he chooses to hear and to keep his father's instruction and to not forsake the teaching of his mother, the Bible says this guidance system will lead them, it will keep him, it will talk to him, it will give him light, it will give him reproofs of instruction. In other words, he'll have a guidance system for life. And again, if they choose to forsake it, that's their decision, it's not mine. But inside my heart, I know that one day, perhaps, the Holy Spirit will call those things to their mind, and they're going to say, you know, why didn't I listen? I need to get back to that guidance system, and they'll come running home like the prodigal. That's because we taught them. Well, on your notes, and we have to quit. I'm sorry for taking so long. 3 John 4, I believe it is. John, it's on your notes. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. It doesn't say there, I have no greater joy than to know that my son walked on the moon, or that he averaged 44 points a game for the Duke Blue Devils, or that he is the only man in the world that can do a brain transplant. Now, that would be something, right? And there's nothing wrong with those things. Please don't misunderstand me. But my greatest joy is that my children walk in the truth. And see, when they're little guys crying and pooping, you have to think long range. When they're 22 and they got these wings and they fly away, and my prayer is that they walk in the truth. And I think that's what God's desire for all of us are. And so, parents, we have the great opportunity. Please understand it as a great opportunity and a blessed responsibility to impart your children the truth of God's curriculum, which is the B-I-B-L-E. Do it in love. And let me encourage you to teach your children not only by precept, but also by example, which flows from your own heart that genuinely fears the Lord. And give your children the foundation for which they can bear the intended fruit God has for them to bear for the glory of God. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in the Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this group of people. Thank you for their attentiveness to the word. And Lord, I pray that it's been an encouragement to them. I mean, it's ABC. But that's what your word is. Most of the time, it's ABC. And thank you, our God, for not only saving us, but giving us a guidance system to live the Christian life. And Thank you for our children. Thank you for our grandchildren. Some of us can thank you for their great-grandchildren. And Lord, help us to encourage and impart the truth of God's word. And help us to rejoice in the Lord in that. Help us to have our priorities in perspective. Again, we thank you for that day when we feared the Lord. I mean, we weren't born that way, but by your grace, you brought us to salvation. Those of us that know Christ as Savior, if there's any here without Christ, I pray that today might be their day of salvation. Thank you again for the Spirit of God who lives in us, who teaches us his word, as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.